We're going to start at verse 16 and go to verse 39. And this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. So Matthew 10, verse 16. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in the synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how... Sorry. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life and will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just offer you up this morning, and you know, it's a pretty serious passage, Lord. I just pray for all of us that you would just give us open hearts, clear hearts as we receive your word, and not just hear the word, but also hear your heart in the matter, Lord, and just remember who you are as our loving Father. And Lord, would you use me today, this morning, to share, give me the words and mind to share your truth and love this morning. We just thank you, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus speaking to his disciples, and it's this, pretty much this whole passage is on persecution. And at verse 16, it starts off with saying that Jesus will send you out, and he's speaking to the disciples, but of course, he's speaking to us as well. He's sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Right? And it's kind of weird, right? You would think he would have said something like, "Oh, I'm going to send you out as a lion amongst wolves." Or at least something a little bit more something that has a little bit more chance than a sheep, even a dog, right? I send you as a dog amongst wolves. But he said, I send you as sheep. And if we're being sent out as sheep, we pretty much have no chance, right? Like sheep, they're dumb animals. They're really dumb in terms of IQ. They can't see, right? Like apparently they're very farsighted, so they can't see near. So if you look at a herd of sheep, when they're walking around, they all have their noses against the next sheep's butt, and that's how they like know how to travel, because they can't see, so they have to like look from here, and it's a sense of smell. So what's going on here? Right? Like why is Jesus sending us out as sheep among wolves? I think one, it's a reminder for us that we are sheep, in the sense we have no chance, right? And many of us, even in as we are sent out into this world, right, we try to overcome things with our own strength, right? We try to use it with the power we have, right? And you can say with sheep, no matter how hard they try, you know, even if they work out a lot, they still have no chance against wolves, right? So what is the only chance that we have is if we have a shepherd, right? If we have a shepherd to follow and to lean on, then we have a chance. Shepherd being Jesus. And second, it follows it up with more wisdom and advice. And Jesus says, the way you conduct yourselves in this world, when I send you out in the midst of wolves as sheep, is to be shrewd like serpents and innocent as doves. Two very different images, right? Generally, as a serpent, we would think of, you know, evil, devil, right? And as a dove, we think of, you know, good, Holy Spirit. So what is this saying? So when it's talking about shrewd as serpents, I think what it's saying is when you are out in the world, another translation for shrewdness is wisdom as well. So he's saying, don't just be, you know, aloof and not know what's going on, but you got to be wise, right? Basically, you need to have really high, I think, EQ, right? So then you know how to navigate in this world and, you know, not cause trouble and not, you know, cause drama. And then it says, and innocent as doves. Innocent as doves. So while you are still being really wise in the way you conduct yourselves, you also need to be very careful in the way you conduct yourselves. And it's not even just saying don't sin, right? Don't do anything illegal. Don't do anything bad. But it's going an extra step further. It's don't even give people any sort of reason to blame you for anything, right? So be as innocent as a dove. So that's what it's saying. But despite that, despite even if you're able to be, you know, as shrewd as a serpent and as innocent as a dove, that brings me to my first point, is you will still face persecution. In verse 17, it says, but beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. So even if you conduct yourself perfectly, you'll still face persecution. And we need to accept that, right? And this is part of the gospel. And while the gospel, you know, we tell people, like, oh, accept Christ, you know, then he'll prosper you, he will bless you. But the reality is, there is suffering that comes along with it. And if we, and even if we are conduct ourselves perfectly, still you will face this persecution. And it's just part of our faith. And then our second point is, it's what Jesus kind of, I think it's to prepare our hearts, right, is there will be division. In verse 21, it says that brother will betray brother to death, and a father's child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You'll be hated by all because of my name, but is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. So yes, sharing the gospel, accepting Christ in your life, it can cause such division. And you hear stories of this, especially, you know, even with our sisters in SPIN, SP Indonesia, especially people who are of the Muslim faith. They accept Christ and it creates this division, right? Where I think even it can cause death. And to give you perspective on this division, in verse 34, it says, "Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set man against his father," again, same thing, "and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. Who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So it's interesting that Jesus would say, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword," right? Because you would think the message, the gospel, is a message of, you know, love, peace, right? But he says, that's not, I mean, it is. I don't want to say it isn't. It is a message of peace. But I think it's a peace in terms of our soul, right? Our soul receives that peace. But sometimes we think it's not just, we think this peace is everything in our life, right? Where it's, you know, everything works out perfectly, everything's hunky-dory. If, like, circumstances go bad, we're like, oh, am I not right with God, right? Or, you know, did I sin? But that's not true. Actually, what Jesus says is, I came to bring a sword. And what that means is, when you bring the message and people accept that into their life, it's almost like a sword comes down, right? Because a line has been drawn. And it's either kind of like, I don't want to say you're in or you're out, but it definitely creates a division. And again, it says, you know, and we see this, even in Hong Kong, I remember in house church, like, just people really struggling with that. Like, oh, my mother or my father, like, basically every time they come to church, like, this crazy contention, and they have to get in a crazy fight. They're like, oh, what are you doing? Why are you going? You know, stuff like that. And, and even, like, you know, husbands and wives, especially if they're not equally yoked, you hear, you know, it's just crazy contention. It's almost like they're, you know, husband and wife, you're supposed to be one flesh, you're on the same team, but almost it's like you're opposing each other. But in the end, Jesus says, you know, most importantly is you put me first, right? Because I should be above all these things. And I know it sounds like, oh, so harsh, this almost like this commandment. Put me number one, more than your mom, more than your dad, more than your husband, your wife, more than your children. But it's actually, in my experience, it's the best thing for your relationship. What I mean is, when you put God first, you know, it's like the expectations you have on another person is much less. So then you can just freely love the person and not have such high expectations of, oh, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. Instead, well, what it would look like in terms of my wife, if I'm like really, you know, abiding in God, is I want to serve her all the time. I just want to serve her. I just want to make her happy all the time. So it's pretty heavy. You know, basically, to summarize so far, it's saying, even if you conduct yourselves perfectly, there will be persecution. The cost of the persecution, what will that will look like? It's going to create division. Division with the people that are dearest to you. So why, even go about this is, God says at the end, in verse 19, he says, don't fear, basically. In verse 19 says, but when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given to you in the hour what you are to say, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So we often use this verse we often quote this verse, and it's true. You know, God speaks to you when you don't know what to say. But really, the context is persecution. So, example, you know, you get captured in North Korea, and they put you before a court that is completely biased. And yet, in that moment, God will give you the words to speak, right? But often we use this, or we shouldn't use this if we're unprepared, right? Like, oh, shoot, I didn't prepare for that business presentation. All right, but the word says, if I just rely on him, he'll give me the words to speak and I'll be okay, right? So that's not the context. Even, you know, up here for EMP, oh, shoot, I didn't prep EMP. Even it's a spiritual thing, right? It's like, oh, God, give me a message. You said, you know, you give me the words. It's true, God will speak to you and use you to, like, speak, but really, in here, it's in regards to persecution. Not just any hardship, like, you know, your boss yells at you for no good reason, and in the meeting room, you need a really good comeback, right? That's not the point. In here, specifically, it's persecution. So he's saying, don't worry. And then in verse 28, he says, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. So it says, don't fear those who can only kill the body. All of us, we can only affect each other's body, but fear the person who can affect the body, who can destroy the body and soul. And that sounds very, in some ways, it's like, is that God? He's going to, why is it describing God as the one who would destroy your body and soul? If anything, I would think, oh, that sounds like Satan, right? But it's not Satan, it's God. Because when, in reference to Satan, it's never fear the devil, it's always resist the devil, right? But here it says, fear the one. So it's talking about God. Fear God, right? The one who has the capability to destroy both body and soul. And Spurgeon, the theologian, said, if you will really fear the one who can destroy your body and soul, if you really fear God, you will not fear man. And then it goes on to say, talks about just how important you are, right? God knows the very number of hairs on your head. No one knows that. I don't know how many hairs are on my head. Your most loved one doesn't know the number of hairs on your head. I have no idea how many hairs are on my daughter, and she doesn't even have that much hair. But I have no idea. But God knows the very numbers on your head. And all to say, he's saying, yes, you know, when you come into, join this family, you're going to face persecution. There's going to be hardships. Circumstances are not going to look good. And that's just part of the life here, the temporal. But I love you, right? I've got you. I know the very number of hairs on your head. So as Janella comes up, thank you, Janella. I know it's kind of a serious and heavy topic, but I feel like the reason we have this message today is not to condemn us or anything like that, or make things have you not look forward to the future, but it's kind of a wake-up call to say, It's a wake-up call to say, hey, you have a call on your life. It's more than just, you know, going to work, being successful. It's more than, you know, taking care of our kids, you know, figuring out what school to take to that we need to enroll them in. It's more than what are we going to do tonight. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but that's, we have a greater call than that. And in verse, I'll finish with this. In verse 27, it says, what I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. What he's saying is, your faith, what you know about me, the gospel, is not something that should be hidden. It needs to be something that's public. And so there's no such thing as a secret Christian. That in itself is an oxymoron, right? It's saying again, what I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the house steps. So we need to testify. We need to share our faith. All the goodness that happens in our life, we need to just share. And it may cause division at times, but that's just part of it. And I remember I had a really good female friend, and she was probably like closest female friend, and it caused a divide between us. And the funny thing is, I wasn't even trying to evangelize. I was just, you know, God comes into my life, I'm so excited, and I'm just sharing my life with her. Like, oh man, I'm not even like, oh, you know, telling her about her sin and how she needs to repent or trying to convince her. I'm just sharing about my life. Like, oh, God was so amazing. This is what I learned today. Oh, like at church today, there was this healing. And then she got really angry and she said, stop trying to convert me. I was like shocked. I was like, what? I'm I'm sorry. And then I said, oh, I wasn't even trying to convert. And she's like, I just don't want you to talk about that anymore. And honestly, that caused a divide between us, because it's unfair in a friendship where it's give and take, you know, equals, where in one aspect, I'm supposed to freely, you know, listen and care about what's on her heart, but I am unable to share what's on my heart. And it caused this divide, unfortunately. I mean, I still care for this person, and I have no bitterness, obviously. But yeah, it is what it is. It caused this divide in our relationship. So there is a cost, right? So as Janella leads us, let's just take a moment and just reflect that, you know, God has put a call into our lives. And while we have many blessings in our lives, there's more to it than that. Thank you. Yes, Lord. I just pray for myself and everyone here, Lord, today, that even this message of being sent out as sheep amongst wolves and expecting persecution and division in our lives, Lord, that would not be our focus, God. Our focus would still just be on you, Lord. Even though there is a cost in our faith, Lord, the cost is nothing. If we just reflect on the cost that you have taken upon yourself, especially in the midst of, you know, Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, Lord. And just let us remember on, just as from Sunday with Peter, Lord, even, you know, when we're not ready, and even the case of Peter, not only was he not ready, but he even ran away, you will still meet us exactly where we are at, God. And that we can just really take comfort in your love for us, Lord. Just such love for us, Lord, that you're taking care of us and you want the best for us, Lord. But Lord, even then, you know, you have called us to be the salt and the light, Lord. And as we just want to commit that to you and just pray for those opportunities, not just, you know, special ordained opportunities, but move in our hearts, Lord, to love. And if we really love those around us, Lord, we want to share, not because, you know, you commanded us to, but because we care about others, Lord, and we would want to share about you and just the impact that you've had on our lives, Lord. Let us be less focused on ourselves and our circumstances, and let us really just focus on you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, and I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to, if you could turn to the screens, and go to our prayers. Let's cover our community. Let's cover those who are dealing with cancer, and also those who are recovering from chemo and radiation therapy. Let's also cover those who are sick, but also are in need of salvation. Let's also cover those who are sick. Cover our community who's looking for jobs, for doors to open, and for them to really maximize this free time opportunity as well. Thank you. Let's go to our Thursday prayer focuses. Let's start with mission. Let's cover Cambodia and our Grace. Let's pray also for Peace Sophia in Japan. Oh yeah, if you could pray for Grace, she kind of has a concussion. Let's lift up our prayer and healing ministries. That includes IP, that's led by Matt. The Well, included by that's led by P. Ricky, and also Cascade, that's led by Rachel. Let's pray for anointing and protection, as well as team unity, and and for direction for the leaders as well. Let's cover our education ministries, Noah's Ark, our Sunday School, SP Youth, as well as SPU, our college ministry. Let's pray for anointing and just for the young people to encounter God. Cover our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights, as well as Homie Outreach. Let's pray for a favor for the team when they go out, for love for the team in their hearts, for the people they outreach to, and let's pray for team unity as well. Let's cover the house churches. It's on break right now, but we can pray just for the members that, and also especially the leaders, that they would have a good rest. Let's pray for Robin Hood, Elements, Happy Valley, and Olympic. Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time and this time of prayer as well as your word. We just want to offer ourselves up to you this day. Help us to hear and be obedient, Lord. And be aware and be full of love and compassion for the people around us. Let us not operate out of fear, but out of your love, Lord, for perfect love casts out fear, Lord. So let your love be really what drives us. And just put you at the forefront in our lives and love you and spend time with you. So we just thank you for everything this day. May the Lord just bless your spirit to connect with the Holy Spirit and lead your body and soul. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great time and have a great day.